Welcome to the Stuff and Junk Show. We share our opinions and random topics from interesting news, social topics, pop culture, our likes and dislikes, things you've seen, heard, or read, what we did, and what we do. You know, stuff and junk. Hello, my name is Albert.
This is Johnny.
This is Anna.
And once again, we have Derek from the Geekdom Fancast. Welcome to the show, Derek. Wait, what? Another voice.
He's still doing voices. He's committed to the bit.
Mr. Derek,
I love that for
the
you.
Christmas boo. Anyways, this is the part where Albert sits back and let people create topics on their own. Who did Derek? Did you happen to have one?
What the?
I know.
You did it again, Albert. You did it again.
I love
it. You put him in an awkward spot once again. Congratulations. Look at that.
No worries. This will be edited.
Yeah.
Jumping. I know you want to see something.
I have one real quick and stuff like that. It's about a social faux pas and stuff like that. Here's my whole thing. So I went to go see a movie the other day. I went to go see Spy Family. And for Albert, you've seen Spy Family, right?
I did.
This is going to be extra hilarious for you too, because it involves a little bit of the plot of the movie and stuff like that. So before the movie, I go and use the restroom as you do and stuff like that. So as I was walking into the restroom, I heard two guys talking and stuff like that. I'm like, okay, no big deal, two guys talking. So I see one guy next to the, what do you call it? The thing, you know, he's finished up washing and stuff like that. And he's just chatting away. So I go and go pee. I said, who are you talking to? What's the second guy? He's not by the urinal where I'm going. And the other guy was on the toilet. He's going number two. You know what I mean? And they're having a full ass conversation. You know what I mean? Like this whole conversation about what they're going to do this weekend. Even right now, I remember what they're talking about. They're like, hey, is it okay that I bring my dog over for the weekend? I'm staying over. And like, yeah, it's okay. Yeah, don't worry. I'll watch it. It was like a full 1 minute conversation. It lasted longer than my key. You know what I mean? I took a piss. I got out. I washed my hands. I got out of there. My whole thing took like a minute and a half, 2 minutes. You know what I mean? And they're still talking. They're still having a chit chat. So my whole thing is, my question for the round table, for the podcast is, have you guys ever had like a conversation while you're on the dump or you're taking dump? You know what I mean? Am I the one who thinks it's, am I wrong for thinking that's kind of weird, kind of odd?
First off, if I was going to be taking a dump in public, there would be nobody else around.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm going. This might be a little side thing. I don't like going number two. In my adult life, I've gone number two maybe like a dozen times. It's always because I was sick and I had, you know, food poisoning. But for the most part, number two is a very personal thing. You know what I mean? It's not, I don't want anybody around. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
At most, I'm at home and it's with my wife, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
But out in public, clearly they're not even relatives. They're just strangers or, you know, not strangers, but I'm guessing they know each other at least, right?
Yeah, they're friends.
Oh, what age are they, by the way?
I think early 20s.
Oh, I mean, is that a common thing for Gen Zers?
You love playing that card. But yeah, I don't know. I've never experienced anything like that in my life. You know what I mean? I've never seen other people talk or chit chat while they're having number two in public and stuff like that. It's just wild to me.
Yeah. The closest thing I have is me taking a piss, like peeing, and then yes, somebody's trying to talk to me. And I'm like doing this like, like, why are you talking to me? I'm peeing.
I'm okay. I've had conversations.
The guy rule.
Yeah. I've had not like full conversations with friends like in the restroom while taking a piss, but we've had like, hey, so how was the dinner? You know, you like the movie? Just like a little idle chit chat, not like full conversations. You know what I mean?
Guys should not like talking to other people while they're doing number one or two.
Yeah, two is just way out of bounds to me. Now, what about you guys?
Derek, yeah, so Anna, Derek.
So I will say that I have never had a conversation with somebody while doing number two in public, but I have had plenty of conversations in someone's private house doing, not me, but like a friend of mine, like, oh, I just got to go and then we'll leave. And then they'll start talking blah, 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 through the door. And I'm like, okay, then I think it's weird, but I'm not going to lie.
Huh? It is weird, right?
Yeah, but at least it was in the private someone's home. Never in public, though. No, yeah. I've never done it in public. And going on what we're saying about number one, I've had probably a million conversations while going number one. Anytime you go to a concert or a baseball game, all the time. Mm, yeah, that's nothing new.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I agree with that. That's like the idle chit-chat and stuff. Yeah, just like kind of passing time.
Anna, female point of view?
Yeah.
So, my girlfriends and I, we have a lot of conversations in the bathroom while not taking a number two. But
that's the key. That's the key right
there.
That
is the key. Yeah. So I I don't when we're really drunk and we're all in the bathroom. It's, you know, conversation galore. But I can't say it's happened while number two, unless it's a very close. Well, I think if it would happen, it'd happen again in the privacy of someone's home with my best friend of all time. But I don't think we've ever done that in public. But now I'm going to look back. I'm going to text her and ask her if we've done that before. So I don't know. I don't think so. But yeah, teen, yes, absolutely, all the time. Just conversation never stops.
Yeah,
and I want a second, I'm with John Ming on the number two in public thing. Like, I mean, I've done it plenty of times, but man, it's got to be like, if I can't, only because I can't hold it till I get home. If I can hold it, I will hold it.
Oh, I will hold it. Yeah. I want to go in my own bathroom and my own privacy, like, you know, just whatever. Yeah. But
my biggest nightmare in life is actually being on those international flights and having to go to number two. It hasn't happened yet, thank God. But
how do you do that?
You don't eat. That's what I do.
Yeah. I try not to eat too much before a flight you know what I mean?
Wow. Sometimes like, because you're on the flight that's never so flown long, actually, like, can they even hear you in there?
That's not the point. It's the toilet. It's the actual physical toilet.
Okay. I mean, as long as someone can't hear me or anything, it wouldn't bother me. I just don't want anyone listening to my business.
Yeah, I get the noise part of it. If it's like a public thing, that's part of it. But for international flight, it's just about the actual condition of the toilet. It's
fair enough. So, yeah. I mean, just because we're on the subject, funny FYI, I have never used an airport bathroom.
Not even the airplane bathroom. Not even the pee.
I don't think I've ever used an airplane bathroom as well.
Not even the pee.
Nope.
No.
Well, okay.
Last weekend when on the airplane, I got the urge to go to the bathroom right before we're boarding, and I held it for those 3 hours until we got.
Well, the follow up question is: longest flight you guys taken?
3 hours.
Yeah, you can hold it 3 hours.
New York's like what, 7 or 8?
So that's long. That's a long time to hold it. Yeah.
That's a long time. I don't know.
You go before you get on the flight.
Yeah, but seven hours? That's still a long time.
But it's like you're saying, it's not like I'm up there like boozing, drinking a six pack of beer. Like I get on there and like, you know, you don't, I mean, it's not like they give you tons of like drinks and you don't order tons. It's like if you don't drink or eat a lot, then you don't feel the need to go.
Yeah.
I don't purposely do it that way, but it's like I don't eat that much drink that much on a plane to begin with.
That's fair.
Although it cracks me up when anytime I see people in bars before flights and they're sitting there downing beers and I'm like, you realize you're going to have to just go to the bathroom when you get on the plane.
Yeah.
That's what I never understand, drinking before you get on flights. I know that's a big thing, but I don't get it.
I usually get there like 2.5 hours early. So if I have a drink, I'm pretty much sure I'll go to the bathroom before I board. So I'll be okay.
Yeah.
Because I'll do that for Vegas and stuff, but I'm pretty sure I'll go to the bathroom before I get on the plane.
Yeah, but Vegas is like an hour flight. I'm talking people, you know, like I said, like going to New York, you're going to the East Coast or something, and they're like, yeah, let's go to the bar. It's like, what are you, nuts?
When in Rome.
I think the longest flight I took was many, many decades ago when I came here from the Philippines. And I was like, what, 13 hours, I think? Something like that. So, yeah. But for the most part.
Albert wins.
John Ming took longer flights than I did. For the most part, short flights for me, and that was many years ago. I try to avoid using the toilet as well, especially if it's under like 5 hours. Like I go before I get on the plane. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Wait, what's longer than how long is Singapore?
Oh, not Singapore. From Ontario to Taiwan is like 14 and a half.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. The return flights, it's about 12 and a half. No, like 11 and a half.
So what do you have to do? Like get up and do laps? Like you can't just sit the whole time, right?
No. What do you got? You take the midnight flight. So you take the midnight flight. They feed you. That kills about an hour and a half, and then just go sleep.
Yeah, try to sleep 8 hours, and then they'll knock out the majority of your flight.
Oh, yeah.
And aren't you supposed to like get up every couple hours to get your blood flowing and all that?
But you're
ideally you're supposed to do it. Yeah, because it's a whole thing. Yeah, around hour 5 and 6, your body starts to kind of cramp up. You feel like you feel kind of claustrophobic and stuff like that. Yeah,
but you've never had a problem.
Oh, I've had problems. It's not good. It's I'm getting older. It's bad for my body. So what I do is for the most part, I do this time around. I got noise canceling like headphones. I take a sleeping pill right after they feed you and stuff like that. So yeah, of the 14 hours, I probably slept maybe 6 to 7 hours and stuff like that. So,
okay.
Yeah, but those are like rough, not very good hours. So once you get to your destination, the first day I usually just like spend the whole day sleeping and stuff like that.
So when you do like those long haul flights, do you like, do you prefer to sit on the aisle?
I do prefer to sit in the aisle because I do like kind of getting out and going to restrooms, sort of like without bothering people and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And my other trick is if obviously, I mean, I think we're both, everybody here is in the same kind of economic class. We can't afford a first class or a business class, right? So if you pay for economy, you can pay for that. You pay like 170 for that economy row that's on the, what do you call it, the emergency exit. You know what I mean? So you have that extra space. So if you want like extra space, but you still want to fly economy, just pay the extra 170 for that row. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They have more leg room, right?
Yeah. The only thing you have to do is kind of say, hey, yeah, if it's a case of emergency.
Yeah. That's always my thing where I don't want to do it.
I don't want to be that person.
Well, the chances are nothing's going to happen.
I know, but that's my paranoia. Yeah. Like, I don't want to be responsible. Also,
the thing is, if there's an emergency, you don't want to look at me to be a hero. That's true. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not your guy. But the thing is, you get more space that way. And also, sometimes a lot of people, like on my flight back, nobody wanted to pay that one, the extra 170. So actually, I had the entire row by myself, not just the extra leg space, but I had. So there are little tricks you can learn as you fly and stuff like that. One of the tricks I learned is like that, do that. Also, like I said, sleeping pills, noise canceling, headphones and stuff like that. Just like things like that.
I need to maybe do the sleeping. I can't sleep on planes. That's one of my problems. I have a really hard time. I have this strange thing where I have to be laying down. I can't sleep sitting up. I don't see how people do it.
Same.
And go get the neck pillow. And I'm like, no, you're still sitting up.
Yeah. I'm a very particular sleeper myself too. I can't, like, some people sleep in a car, some people blah blah blah. I can't do that at all and some of that. I usually need to sleep in my bed, dark, silent, you know, all that stuff. But yeah. But for international flight, it's just impossible to stay awake for 4.5 hours.
Well, yeah, that's like, there was a time I did I came back from New York and I missed my flight and I had to end up doing a red eye because I missed my flight and it was the only flight available and I left it, I think, at like 11:30 at night. Dude, my ass was damn tired. It's like I think I was awake for like maybe an hour and I knocked out.
Yeah. But there's the international flights, it's almost impossible to stay awake and stuff like that. But yeah. And also I keep hearing, is this true whether you lower the oxygen or increase oxygen can make you go to sleep and stuff like that? Was that urban legend or something? It's one of those bullshit things I saw in a TV show or movie. Who knows if that's true?
But I like that idea, though.
Yeah. But it's good times, man. It's good times. So anyway, going back to poop, we all agree. We all agree it's weird, right?
Yes.
Yes. Full circle, yes. Poop is weird.
Yeah.
Pooping and talking.
Moving on. Anna, do you have a topic that you want to share with us?
You know, I already used my topic.
Wait, hold on a second. You have to top poop, though. You know what I'm saying?
I know. I don't think I can. I don't think I have a topic this week because I was going to be the Gatorade thing, but clearly it was only a 30-second conversation. So, I don't think I have anything intriguing.
Wow. So you're saying is we have another short episode, which is what Albert wants. Exactly. Yay.
Jeez, I can't top poop. I'm sorry. You know?
Can't top poop. Like I said, that's the name of the title of the episode. Can't top poop.
Can't top poop.
I'll write that right now. Can't top poop. Okay.
I have a pointless thing we could bring up.
Okay, go. Yeah.
The whole thing with Target getting rid of their physical media in 2025 and it's more the death of physical media.
So sad about that. I don't know what I'm gonna do.
Buy from, so it's buy from Best Amazon. Buy and Target. Man, we're running out of places.
Buy from Amazon. Buy from Amazon.
That's not the point. The point is physical media is dying rapidly.
It's not dead. That's the thing, though.
I'm not saying it's dead, but it's dying.
Yeah. The only thing you have to be worried about are companies who are releasing stuff without physical media.
That's what
you should be concerned about. Because physical media will never go away. Because that's why the collector's market exists.
Yeah, but I feel that like if more retail chains are going to get rid of it, then it's going to give manufacturers less reason to make it. Yeah.
Right. But vinyl went through the same thing, and vinyl's still around.
Yeah, I know, but I like my collectible, you know, other stuff too.
Yeah.
Like I don't think Blu-rays and CDs will ever fully die, but I think that it's not a good sign. Like the, you know, like Best Buy got it for 1 year and then now next year's Target. Like
Walmart's like doubling down on their physical media. So Walmart is gonna be then my new go-to place, you know?
The one thing that did make me happy though is Record Store Day. they had a huge sale, which was this past weekend. They had a huge, of course, sale at Amoeba Records in LA, and they had, you know, of course, all these deals and, you know, big it, for them, it's of course a big deal. And they had, they showed the line down the block. People were camped out overnight just for all the collectibles and, you know, vinyl or releases and special record door releases. So I'm like, that actually warmed my heart. I'm like, yes, people still care.
Well,
The thing is, though, is that if you love a band, you will buy the CD directly from the artist anyway. So there's that.
So that's what I also, do. But the other thing is, what do you call it? The less amount of revenue streams or avenues for these physical medias to sell their stuff, it's going to increase the cost, though, right? At some point.
Yeah.
So you know what I mean? So that's, I mean, going back what you guys say, Blu-ray will always be around. So, but at what price point? You know what I mean? At what price point? Is it going to be, is it going to be in like this? Because vinyl, we're paying more, people are paying more for vinyl today than they were in their prime, right? You know, just for inflation and stuff like that. So, yeah, that's the other issue. What's the price point going to be?
Yeah, well, that's the way it's going to be. Okay.
Well said. That's beautiful. That's poetic.
That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
As Albert puts down the cold dagger to our collector hearts, that's the way it's going to be. Deal with it, kids.
Yeah. Sit up.
All right. I guess that's it then.
Huh. Albert's like, as long as I can get my Metallica double discs, I'm fine.
Yeah, yeah, I know for sure that's going to happen. I can still order New Jeans stuff from New Jeans, and that's not
fine. Oh, there you go. Yeah. There you go.
It's not gonna go away. Just support the artists, people. You want to support your artists? Support them. They actually buy their stuff from them. They get 100%, basically 100% of the money goes to them, as opposed to buying from a third party. So yeah, all right. And that's what's no, that's not it. You can find this podcast on Instagram, Trends, and YouTube at Stuff Junk Show. You can find me on Instagram and Trends as well at Albert5x5.
Oh, you can find me on social media, JIAMINGLOU.
You can find me on social media at Anna Voltage or on my other show, Most Extreme Ranking Challenge.
And Derek?
You can find me on social media as The Geek Potato and my podcast, Geekdom Fancast, on podcast apps.
Music has been provided by Gloomy June. Contact info, ways to support us, and everything else on the show notes found on whowhatworstwhy.com. Before we wrap things up, let us give our... Oh, let's give our five listeners. Right? Let's go with.
So in between the pause, you did the calculations in your head. It's actually five. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
No, I wrote the.
You
five
were going to say four, but you know what? No. It's five.
Hey now. Albert's friends have very high opinions about our five listeners.
Oh, there you go.
I mean, okay, four. Let's give our four listeners some recommendations.
I think it's four for this one because, see, I would be a listener, but I'm not going to listen to this one because I was already on it. So
three!
It goes
down one. There you go.
Let's give our three listeners some recommendations for this week.
Well, you know what? I finished Parasite the Grey this morning. It's a Netflix.
Oh, I want to watch that.
It's a Netflix adaptation of the Japanese manga, right? And more importantly, it's brought to you by the director of Train to Busan.
Which is why I want to see it.
Yeah, well, Train to Busan is a great movie. One of the great movies of all time. But it's actually, I think it's his best work since Train to Busan. It's a very, very good Netflix series. Six episodes, about 1 hour each. It's very good. I highly recommend it. Parasite the Grey.
Wait, is it live action though?
Yes, live action.
Okay.
Do you need to watch any previous things for this?
My understanding is, I did a little deep dive afterwards. This is a completely original story and stuff. It's not an adaptation of any of the mangas. It's not a retelling of things that's been adapted before in live action or in animation. So it's I won't spoil that part, but I'd say 99% of it is completely original. You don't need any backstory.
All right.
Big thumbs up.
Anna, you have a recommendation for this week?
I watched Boy Kills World last night.
Yes.
Yeah. And it was a lot of fun. I had fun. The action was top notch, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I get the hype on Bill Skarsgård now because I'm like, okay, I get you.
See it?
No, I don't watch those movies.
Oh, okay.
It is fantastic.
That's why you don't know the hype then.
Yeah.
I understand.
I get it now. And I'm like, okay, you know, you very expressive eyes and very smoking hot body. So yes, go watch that movie.
And I want to see people cosplay as Jessica Rhodes' character.
Oh, I want to so badly. That's going to be my goal. I already said I was going to train for Comic-Con, but now I'm going to double train because I would love to cosplay as her. Yeah. That was a badass character. Bad character.
What? You can say badass on the podcast?
Well, like PG.
No, I'll be 13.
Oh, okay.
The P word is the only thing you can't really say is the F word and the C word. That's pretty much it.
I forget. I want to be cognizant of your rating.
Yeah, and Boyka's word is rated R. It's very bloody.
Nice.
It's very bloody. It's much more violent and more bloodier than Abigail.
Yeah. Oh God, yeah. There were times where I'm already kind of queasy because, you know, I'm recovering from food poisoning. But I was like, I had to look away because I'm like, I'm going to throw up.
Yeah, I was very surprised at how violent that movie is.
Yeah, I was like, holy crap! Yeah. But a lot of fun.
A lot of fun.
Andrew Koji
was overacting up the wazoo, but he was fun.
But he's from Warrior, and Warrior's awesome.
Yeah. He's so sexy. I mean, it's just there's a lot of hot guys in this movie. It's not the same.
And I say Mustafa has the best lines in the movie. He was right.
He overhyped his role because I was like, that's it.
Well, no spoilers. But yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Derek, do you have a recommendation that you'd like to give?
Because I was make sure to prepare because I know this show.
Okay.
I recommend Sugar on Apple TV Plus with Colin Farrell. I've just finished episode 5. He plays a private detective who gets hired by a big studio executive in
Los Angeles. He's a fixer, right?
What?
He's like a fixer.
He calls himself a PI.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because it's like you can tell he kind of is a fixer, but like he basically looks for missing people or tries to find people for other people. Mm-hmm. So, but like his methods are kind of like a fixer.
Right.
But it takes place in LA. And he gets hired by a big studio executive to find his missing, I believe it's granddaughter. And it starts out basic, but he's, of course, as the show progresses, there's nice unravelings of different characters and a villain and what really all the issues that she had. And then her family's it's a big Hollywood family. They're like a dynasty Hollywood family and all the skeletons in their closet and all the, drama with all their background and everything. So he gets into that and it starts, the picture gets bigger and all the Hollywood stuff that you can imagine. But besides that, the reason it's good is because he's incredible, which he always is, but he's basically in 95% of the scenes. And he carries it very well. And also his character is obsessed with movies and film and stuff. So what they do is they kind of do a thing where a lot of times he'll be thinking something or a scene's going to happen with someone, and in his head, he'll be replaying a scene from a movie, or they'll show like, if he gets in a fight, they'll show like maybe a scene from a fight, in a movie, or if like a girl's like telling him something like really sexy, then they'll show like a old tiny black and white clip of some sexy femme fatale, it's all that kind of stuff. So it's kind of a nice little throw in of his mind into the, thing of the show. But the first episode, maybe even the second one's a little bit of a slow burn, but then it picks up and it's once the story gets going, it's wonderful.
Every episode I believe is directed by the co-director of City of Gods. So if you're a fan of City of Gods,
yeah. I did not know that tidbit, so thank you.
Mm-hmm. Going to the Apple TV Plus thing, for a streaming service which has like amazing shows and bangers of creativity and big budget for their TV shows, is anybody concerned that nobody is watching Apple TV Plus based on like all the compared to all the other streamers? Like, when is Apple going to say, like, you know what? We're spending all this money on Apple TV Plus, but like, we're like a really small percentage of the streaming market.
It doesn't matter. They're not doing it for profit, though.
It's not okay, as long as that's still their plan.
I think the thing is they don't have a lot of shows. So I don't think you can tell that their shows look really good.
They have a lot more shows
on
Peacock. Do you have a lot more shows on Peacock or Paramount Plus?
Okay, well, Peacock's like whatever.
They need to.
But I'm just saying in the sense of like they don't have the catalog that like Hulu and Disney and Netflix have. Yeah. So I think they're not spending as much. Although the stuff like they have Silo and
I think they're spending a lot and the quality.
What's
shows
the
a
other
lot.
One? Yeah. The quality. What was the sci-fi one?
Constellation.
The other one with
For All Mankind.
For All Mankind. Okay.
Continuum? Yes. No, not Continuum. Is it Continuum?
No, Constellation.
That was sci-fi.
No, for all mankind. It's all for all mankind.
No. The one that takes place with different worlds and sci-fi and everything.
Foundation?
Yes, thank you.
Oh, Foundation.
Yeah, so it's like you can tell when you look at these shows that they're spending a lot of money. Yes, but if you look at how fast and how much they put out, they're not doing nearly the amount of product. So like I don't think they're – I think they're spending on quality instead of quantity. So
I think their mindset is they're this generation's HBO.
Yes.
Like they think of themselves as HBO, like a very boutique, very catered, you know what I mean? High end movie. I mean, TV movie, TV shows and stuff like that.
Well,
I think that's how they think of themselves.
I think they are. Yeah.
Yeah. Even the TV show I recommended last week, what do you call it? The completely made up Avengers of Dick Durbin, which is like a comedy, six-episode comedy. They shot a lot of that stuff on location, you know, in the countryside of Great Britain and stuff like that. That must spend a lot of money and stuff like that on that. You know what I mean? Just for comedy and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Yeah. That's why I'm hoping that they're still okay spending all this money.
Yeah, they don't give a rat's ass
even
about.
with the fact that many people did not subscribe to Apple TV Plus.
And I'm fine to be corrected on this, but like we've seen reports that like Netflix is losing subscribers, Disney Plus is losing survivors. Yeah. You never see that about Apple TV Plus losing subscribers.
Well, because they're not even 2% of the streaming market right now.
Yeah, they don't.
Yeah, but it's better that they're not losing.
Yeah, but you still have an iPhone in your pocket, right? That's what they care about. They have an iPhone, iPad. They're burning money in that Apple TV Plus. It's a prestige thing for.
We shall see.
I don't know what their long play is. Like, are they going to really buy another streaming service? Are they going to merge something? Are they going to keep going at this pace? Because it's not for profit. It's definitely not for profit. You know, it's silly to think otherwise.
We'll see.
Although Ted Lasso was a huge hit for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. But in terms of like Netflix and Disney Plus, the only people that care about the subscriber numbers are the stockholders. That's pretty much it. But Netflix is essentially the new cable TV for everybody. If you want to get eyeballs on your TV show, you put it on Netflix. That's essentially the rule right now. But yeah. Okay. My recommendation for this week does involve the movies. A couple of weeks ago, Jamming said, was it Jamming? Did you talk about like how...
I should say yes. I'll take credit for it. If it's a good thing, I'll take credit for it. If it's not a good thing, it's Ruthie.
Like how the trailers and the previews in front of the movie was like 30 minutes long, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I said like, I get it like about 25 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So my movie theater seems to be playing tricks on me because I can't... At first, I'm like, okay, 25 minutes. So a couple of times, I'll go to the movie... 25 minutes. Oh, look.
You know exactly the screen time and when the movie starts now, right? At this point, right?
Right. So 25 minutes. Yeah. Like, and then at one point, I went for the first Omen, right? Not the first Omen, but the movie, the first Omen.
Right.
Okay. So I went to that one, and 25 minutes in, and I'm like, hey, the movie just started? I'm like, oh, that's weird. Okay. Then so next time I'm like, all right, I'll go 20 minutes. Then I went 20 minutes, and then there was like 5 more minutes of trailers. Like,
Jesus Christ.
So they're back to 25 minutes then. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And then I watched Spy Family. And Spy Family is anime. Usually anime doesn't have a lot of trailers in the beginning. Mm-hmm. So I go, okay, let's start in the beginning. Make sure, just in case there's no trailers, like normal. Nope. Full suite of trailers. I'm like, oh, okay.
That's weird.
That's different.
You know? This is Regal, right?
This is Regal, but I think it's because Spy Family is Sony released, not Crunchyroll or those other ones. It's not Crunchyroll. It's not what's the other company that released anime? G-Kids. G-Kids usually don't have trailers. They have like a G-Kids trailer, a preview, and then that's it. And then most recently, I went with my 20-minute rule, and it was for Boy Kills World, right? And I was outside waiting for my food because I ordered some food and was waiting for it. And I go, well, I got 5 minutes to spare. Let me look and see where they are at the trailers. I walk inside, the movie's starting. This is 15 minutes. This is 15 minutes.
Weird. Yeah, it was a little short for that one.
Yeah, and I'm like, what the heck? It's 15 minutes. And I'm still waiting for my food. Like, like so I'm like watching part of it. And then and then I'll step out and then go, is my food ready? And then I step back in and then step back out. And then my food was ready. Yeah. So my recommendation.
Yeah,
I guess 15 minutes is my new recommendations and how long you should wait until you go to the movie. 15 minutes? Is it played safe?
It's for AMC, I can only speak for AMC, obviously.
Right.
It's locked in at 21 to 22 minutes. Okay. It's always been like 99% of the screens have been like that. The only exception, I think, recently was like, I think it was Godzilla, one of the big ones. They stretched it up to like 25. Mm. But for AMC, it's 21 is pretty good unless we talked about this before. Unless it's like a special screening, then there's like sometimes there's hardly any trailers
or
that you have to be careful of those. But like most normal screenings, it's 21, 22 minutes for AMC.
Right.
I got to a point where I could literally leave my house, get to the theater, get my butt into the seat within 15, 18 minutes. So I can actually have 3 or 4 minutes outside and wait. That's how well I've timed out the AMC screenings are and stuff like that. So,
yeah. I did that one time. I was so proud of myself. My movie, like, mm-hmm. let's say, for example, my movie started at 4 o'clock. I left at 3:55. 3:55 from my house. And it's a it's a 17-minute drive to the movie theater.
Exactly.
Right? And I'm like, I got this, you know?
I know.
I go inside, use the restroom real quick, hop in my seat, and then the movie just now starts.
And for some reason, you're surprisingly proud of yourself for doing this.
I don't know. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm like, I nailed it.
Because I'm like, I'm not one of, I nailed this. Like, I'm not one of you losers in the theater, like, they have to go to 25 minutes of trailers. Victory. I just know right when movie starts.
That's a W for the day, guys. We nailed it. No need to do anything else.
But yeah, but right now, I guess, unless you're AMC, play around with 15 minutes. 15 minutes as your buffer before the movie actually starts.
I need the trailer buffer because that's when I get my food.
Yeah. That's what I was hoping too, because that 25 minutes was a nice buffer, nice huge buffer of travel time and getting the food, using the restroom, you know, and I can still avoid previews, you know, and then there we go. Yeah. But yeah, 15 minutes. That's my recommendation. All right. This was episode 765 of the Stuff and Junk Show. Thanks for joining
us. We did it again, guys.
Yes, we did. Until next time, this podcast has been a Who, What, Where, Why production. And Derek, once again, thank you for being on the show. You're welcome
Very
to join
happy
us
to. Thank
anytime
you.
That you are able to, I guess. Wait, what?
I think we all ran out of energy. I think we're all done.
We're done. According to this, we've been recording for...
I got someone I got to talk to while I poop. No.
How long have you been recording?
What a twist. For all this entire time, I've been actually on the toilet.
Howie, best podcasting is done on the toilet.
Yeah. The best pooping.
Yeah.
Okay. And scene.